It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Quite an eclectic theme, quite a wide net, so we bring in the guy whose net is wider than all and is as eclectic as they come. If he had been an adult in the 60s, well, maybe he was an adult in the 60s because he's getting on in years, but had he been an adult in the 60s, even if he wasn't an adult in the 60s, he would have been a one-man walking, talking variety show. He would have been better than the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour and the Dean Martin Hour put together. I'm dating him. I'm dating me. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Oh, wow. I can't live up to that. The Smothers Brothers. I love that show.
They were my... And you know, we saw them at the Wild Animal Park when we first moved to San Diego. That was in the 80s, dear. But... They were, I think they were in their 40s at the time. They still looked like they were in their 20s. They looked great. They sounded great. They were the best.
They were really talented musicians, but they were funny.
Oh, funny as all get out. And yet they had some of the best harmony and played some of the best folk and folk rock you've ever heard. Probably more folk than folk rock. But.
And their TV show, I mean, good grief.
Oh, that was wonderful.
I remember particularly The Who. Who were just starting to come on the scene. And if you know The Who, their whole shtick back then was at the end.
Oh, they would break their instruments.
Yeah, did that on the stage.
Did they do that on TV on the Smothers Brothers show?
Yes, they did.
Oh, I don't remember.
The commercial break, when they came back from the break, Tommy had his acoustic guitar, and he took it and he smashed it.
Ah, that's funny. The CBS censors must have been just livid because they were having trouble with them
possibly.
Speaking out against the Vietnam War.
Yeah,
and they kept warning them, and finally, they managed to survive for three seasons, but they finally did get canceled, and it wasn't because of bad ratings. It was because they let a show slip through without the censors taking a look at it.
Yeah, and they kind of pushed the envelope. They had Seeger on. And it was the first time he'd been on national TV for maybe his career, but for decades, because he was so controversial. And he was very left-wing and very probably a card-carrying communist. I don't know. He'd be middle of the road today. But they had Pete Seeger on. They did all kinds of stuff. It was a very radical show. One of my favorite memories. See, we've already gone down the rabbit hole here. There was a writer's strike in Hollywood. And the Smothers Brothers went ahead and aired the show. And they opened with this old, if you remember, as a country tune, Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Oh, yeah, the Baja Marimba Band did a version of that.
Yeah, well, everybody, Johnny Cash did it. But they come out and Tommy and Dick here.
So instead of Ghost Riders, they made it Ghost Writers in the Sky? Is that what they did?
And they were wearing those Groucho glasses and mustache and nose.
So that nobody could recognize them and tell who they were.
Yes. Yeah. So it was Ghost Writers in Disguise.
That is hilarious.
And so those are the things that I remember, folks. And the reason is I did grow up in the 60s. I was the 60s, except I never did drugs. And so I'm the guy that Robin Williams never met. I do remember the 60s because I wasn't stoned out of my gourd. And so I do remember all that. I remember all the concerts I went to and some great, great stuff. So thank you for even mentioning me in the same paragraph as greats like the Smothers Brothers and the rest. So here we are, and I'm afraid I still haven't become an adult yet. And, you know, I'm 71 now. I don't know if I should say that. People will tune out. That's an old guy.
Well, but that makes me feel better about the fact that I turned 69 a couple of weeks ago. I actually did a whole radio show monologue about how joyful I am to be 69. But 71, that's making me feel a little better, Jim. I'm a couple of years behind.
Well, good. I'm here for you, Bob.
All right. If your age can add just a little joy to my humdrum life, then it wasn't in vain.
Yeah, that's how it is. Now, Brendan reminded me, I totally forgot because I haven't been on the air with you for a while, and this is my first show in 2023, if you can believe that it's 2023. And I'd like to ask all of the listeners right now, how many times have you had to scratch out the 2022 on something you're filling out and change the 2 to a 3?
I used to do that a lot. I don't think I've done that so far this year. But of course, now that I said that over the air, I'm sure tomorrow I'll do that right away. That's the way those things usually work.
Better knock on wood right now.
Okay.
So he reminded me, he said, do you have your predictions ready? And I said, oh my gosh, I forgot to do my predictions. It's going to be a short list. And these are my predictions.
Well, ones that you got correct last year, Jim, that'll be an even shorter list, right?
Well, okay, let's move on to the next subject then.
Go ahead.
So, this is really not going out on a limb. Everybody in the world is going to agree with me on this, and they'll probably lose. But sadly, I am picking the Philadelphia Eagles to win a Super Bowl. I hope they don't, but that would be my pick for the Super Bowl winners, okay? Now, I did this last year.
Well, your odds are 50% on that at least, so that one you never know.
At least. This one, I have to, because I have an emotional condition. And I'm for the World Series winners. Yes, I'm going with your home San Diego Padres in their pink and green uniform.
Oh, attaboy there, Jim. Good job.
I've got to get one of those hats. The next time I'm in town, I'm going to have to get a pink and green Padre hat. So I'm going to go with the Padres one more time for your NCAA Men's Basketball Division I champs in the Final Four tournament. I'm going to go with the Kansas Rock Chalk Jayhawks. That's not a really long shot of a bet, but I like Coach Self and I like the Jayhawks. And so that's my pick for men's basketball. For the NBA, I'm picking I Don't Care. I just don't care. So I'm pretty sick of LeBron and all the rest. But we had a great run here in San Antonio. We have a team called the Spurs, and they won 5 championships after I moved here. After all the heartbreak from the Padres and Chargers, I moved here, and the Spurs won 5 titles. But when Tim Duncan retired, I told everybody, that's the end of the Spurs run. And in fact, last year was the first year that they didn't make the playoffs in over 20 years. So the NBA, I don't watch, I don't know, I don't care. For the Oscars, this is up your alley, Bob.
It used to be. I know you're usually on the night they're having the Oscars. I used to love it, but the last few times you've been on, you've actually announced that the Oscars are on that night, and I didn't even know, and that's how little I care about the Oscars these days. Not because I don't love movies or love the idea of people getting awards, but because they become so politicized.
Yeah. Well, this is my prediction for the Oscars. They're going to do this thing. They've done it with a number of people over the years. They're going to give an Oscar to Tom Cruise because he's getting old, by golly, and they want to just give him one because he makes so much money for that town. And so I think they're going to give an honorary Oscar to Tom Cruise. Of course, Top Gun Maverick, I finally did see.
You know what? If they gave him an honorable mention or even a real Academy Award for that movie, that was good. And we talked about that. I liked it far more than the first Top Gun. Also, aren't a lot of movies in theaters these days. There aren't a lot of movies that aren't woke these days. That wasn't.
Yeah.
So I would love it if they did honor him for that. But what you're mostly going to hear is Trump sucks. Biden's okay. Trump sucks. Biden's okay. That's going to be the Academy Awards.
I know. But so that's as many predictions as I can come up with on short notice. And so I know Brenda keeps track of all of this so that he'll remind me that I was over. But I don't mind. That's part of the fun of it. So those are my predictions. And actually, we had a nice segue there. You kind of led me right into. I want to talk about the double standards going on, primarily in politics, but it's all over the place.
No! Double standards from politicians?
Yeah.
Where are my dreams and disillusionment?
Wake up, Bob.
I thought they were all great, Jim.
Yeah, yeah, they're all very honest and forthcoming and
everything and they do, they're just doing for the American people.
Yeah, afraid not.
Especially when they get caught in the scandal and they're asked about it. I feel that rather than talking about this scandal, we should get back to the issues because, you know, that's what the American people really want to see.
I wonder how many American people actually buy into that. I don't know. He got 80 million votes. He must be very popular.
You know, and I don't necessarily care about a scandal because a person's private life is their own business. I don't look for skeletons in people's closets. But if they're horrible politicians and they're passing laws that are ruining our country, then I'll take whatever it takes to get them out of office, be it a scandal or be it something else.
Well, of course, I don't know what it's going to take. So far, he has not said he will not run. And I thought they have to do is
tell him he already ran and he's serving his second term now, and he'll probably think that's the truth.
That's a great strategy. So, yeah.
You did a great job, Joe. Both terms. Time to go retire now.
Have some ice cream. So, yeah, okay, scandals. Let's just talk about scandals. Now, you and I are old enough to remember... even though
one of us is 69 and the other 71, but that's okay. We're both old enough to remember, if that makes you feel better, Jim. Go ahead.
Thank you. To remember Watergate.
Oh, yes.
That was such a big scandal that now...
Compared to what's going on today, Watergate was nothing. Nothing.
Well, that's my point. That's my point. But now Watergate was so huge in history that now when there's a scandal, they just attach the word gate.
I know.
To the end of it. And so it affected football. There was a few years ago with Tom Brady, and the football was underinflated, and they called it Inflate Gate.
Right.
Something gate.
So what are they going to do when they want to go after Matt Gaetz? Are they going to call it the Gates Gate?
Well, of course. That would be repetitious and redundant.
Yeah, which would be right up Washington's alley.
And there were 18 minutes of a tape missing of Nixon's conversations. So that thing cost Richard Nixon the presidency. He was run out of office over that, okay?
Yeah, in fact, people act like he was impeached. He actually was not, but he knew he would have been not only impeached by the House, but removed from office and found guilty by the Senate. So he did a preemptive strike. On the other hand, Bill Clinton actually was impeached. Donald Trump actually was impeached, but they didn't leave office over those impeachments.
Yeah, Trump wasn't convicted or whatever it is they call it in the Congress. But the point being... Nixon had to leave office because of that. Mr. Obama was guilty of the very same thing, spying on the opposition and stuff. And there was not an Obamagate. It's a double standard.
It's only a gate if it's a Republican, Jim. Those are the rules.
Well, that is true. Okay, so we had this deal, the Mar-a-Lago raid.
Okay, let's talk about the Mar-a-Lago raid when we return. Yeah. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Call Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined by my good friend and always a good sport, Jim Barrier.
And, you know, I love Dave Brubeck. Dave Brubeck, but I want to thank you for not playing that song when we go to a break, because then it would be a five-minute break. Now, didn't. You got it. The song, the tune there, folks, is called Take Five. And it's a classic.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were referring to the fact that I play my bumper music longer if I really like it. And that's one of those ones that I could just let that play and take 5 minutes before coming back on the air. But you're right, the title of the song. So I get it, Jim. I get it. Very good.
Take five. Okay. I'm sorry. That's just the way my brain works. And that without drugs, as I pointed out earlier. Now let's go back before we get to Mar-a-Lago, because we've made reference to this. Now, when George Bush was president, they ridiculed him every time he had a malaprop. And he was. I think he was a good president, but he was just not great in front of the mic. But they ran him into the ground and made fun of him and talked about what an idiot he was.
Well, not only that, but they called him Hitler almost every other day, too. People think Trump's the first one. Trump, I know, Trump with his tweets and his mouth made himself an easier target, and Bush was more milder mannered. But they were calling Bush Hitler every single day because of the war in Iraq.
Yeah, and anybody you don't like is Hitler. And I had, you know, a very close friend of mine who is on the other side of the political fence from me. That he posted something one time about Trump being Hitler. And I read in the Riot Act, I said, look it, he's not running through anybody's towns with tanks. He's not putting people in prison camps.
He's not systematically trying to exterminate an entire race of people. And Hitler didn't try to do that. He came close to accomplishing that.
Yeah. And so just would you lay off the Hitler?
When people say that, they either know nothing about Bush or Trump, or they know nothing about Hitler, or more often the case, they know nothing about either. And they really just shouldn't talk because they don't know what they're talking about.
And I had conservative friends use that same thing with Obama. And as much as I did not like Barry and was not a fan, didn't agree with just about anything he did, he wasn't Hitler. Okay. He was just a bad president. And at that point, I thought maybe he might have even been worse than Jimmy Carter. That set the bar pretty low. But now we have an all-time worst president, I think. And so George Bush, he stumbled over words and he said some dumb things. But my goodness, Joe Biden can't put a sentence together with a teleprompter and with them hand-picking the people that are allowed to ask him questions out of the press corps.
And on those rare occasions when he can put a sentence together, it's a lie. So who cares if he strung the sentence together? The guy's a pathological liar. That concerns me far more than his gaffes. His gaffes don't hurt anybody. His lies do.
Yeah, and he's always been that way. But now there's a lot of concern about dementia. I don't know. I don't know what all the answers are about the president. And as I've said before, I have to pray for him. What I pray now is that God will deal with him. Now, he professes to be a Catholic, not a very good one. You know, you get the pro-abortion Catholics. That puzzles me. That always puzzles me. At any rate, he's had more blunders and malaprops and just verbal goofy things where you come away scratching your head saying, what did I just hear?
But you know, Jim, he had those even before the dementia. You could go back to the 2008 election. He wants to honor some war veteran. He says, get on up and take a bow right now. The guy was confined to a wheelchair. I mean, It went on and on and on. Yeah. He didn't have dementia back then.
Yeah.
He wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed, but he didn't have dementia.
Yeah. So there's that. That I think that's a classic case of the double standard that goes on.
I will say this, though. I will say this. Whatever Joe does or doesn't do, whether he makes a gaffe or doesn't make a gaffe, whether there are handlers behind the scene pulling his strings, whatever is really going on, I am confident of this, Jim. All they are doing not for themselves, but for the American people.
American people.
And you can take that to the bank.
Well, they are.
Which won't exist anymore if they have their way. There'll be no more bank.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So now I started to mention the Mar-a-Lago raid. I think they illegally, if not immorally, raided Donald Trump's place to seize some documents, which so far I don't think anything's come out that's really incriminated him. But, you know, any port in a storm, in this case Mar-a-Lago, they were trying to do him in. But now... now we got this whole thing with the garage and Biden's classified documents, and what in the world? And you know what? There's been a few Democrats and a few people in the media that are starting to really, you know, question, say, well, this isn't, you know, it isn't good. But if this were a Republican president, they'd crucify him.
Oh, they'd have run him out of town on a rail by now, or they would have tarred and feathered him.
Yeah, they really would. It bugs me that there's such an incredible double standard when handling these things. And let's not even talk about Hunter's laptop. Well, let's talk about it. I just brought it up. That's a funny. Let's not talk about it, and then we talk about it.
Yeah, you mean that laptop so much- that came with a lap dance? Kind of a package deal?
Wow, Bob, you shocked me.
I'm just saying.
I'm laughing, but it's tragic. These are criminal things going on. This is corruption at the worst level, at the highest level. You're talking about the president and his family, and there's so much corruption. And I got to tell you, whatever happens with these documents and Hunter's laptop, I don't think any of them are going to be punished.
No, at this point, I'll settle for the fact that we at least have a Republican House now, and they will have hearings, and they'll bring these out in the open. And it's already been out in the open for anybody who wanted to see it, but they'll make it out in the open for everybody to see even more clearly and more easily. Will anybody be prosecuted? No, maybe some small, low-level clerk that wrote something or a memo, but the major players, Biden, Hunter, we're not going to see anything happen to them. We're certainly never going to see anything happen to Hillary.
Oh my gosh. See, now Teflon, you know, she has escaped. Way back, all the way back to the Whitewater thing. You know, she's been dirty from as long as we've heard of her. And I've told this story. I have a friend who I went to school with. He went to Berkeley. I went to Bible school. He went to Berkeley. He told me I couldn't vote for Hillary. I just couldn't vote for her. I don't trust her. He had never voted against the Democrat. He's voted Democrat his whole life. He had to draw the line there. He couldn't vote for Hillary. And so that tells you something when you got to die.
Well, it tells you a lot. I remember when she was running against Bernie Sanders, a friend of mine who was a little more on the liberal side, but didn't really follow politics that much. He said, if you weren't a conservative and you were a Democrat, and those were big ifs, and you had to choose between Bernie and Hillary, who would you choose? I said, well, that's a very interesting question, because as far as integrity goes, I can't stand Bernie Sanders' socialist agenda. But I'll say this, Bernie Sanders has his socialist agenda sincerely. Said Hillary isn't sincere about anything. She probably doesn't even know what she believes or doesn't care what she believes. She'll say anything.
Doesn't
she'll
matter.
Do anything. I said, so if Bernie got into power, we'd become a socialist nation, or assuming he could get it through Congress and everything. If Hillary comes into power, well, we're not sure what she'll do. If the wind is blowing the socialist way, she will. I said, so actually, even though I think Sanders has more integrity, given the choice between those two, I would go with Hillary. Of course, my choice ended up being Hillary and Trump, and there was nothing to think about as far as that went. Trump was kind of a roll of the dice back then, too, but Hillary at least had a record and a past to look at. But still, given that narrow choice between her and Sanders, she was enough of a politician that I was thinking, well, somebody who's only a politician, they may not have sincere convictions, but they will at least see which way the wind is blowing. Maybe the wind will occasionally blow a good direction. That wouldn't have mattered to Bernie. Bernie, if he got into office, he was going to do what he was going to do. And frankly, I think he's doing that now with Biden as his marionette.
It's possible. And with Hillary, I think it was just keep power, stay in power, maintain that control.
Yeah, the same with her with her husband, Bill, although he did it with more polish and finesse. I don't know what I want to do. I just want to be president.
Well, speaking of Slick Willie, when Trump was running the first time, we heard all of this rhetoric about that he's a womanizer. And people were saying rude things about Melania. I don't know what she did to deserve that. Donald Trump is a womanizer. Let me just run a few names by you. Monica Lewinsky, Juanita Broderick, Leslie Milwee, Paula Jones, Kathleen Willey, Lauren Duca, Jennifer Flowers, Susan McDougal, Dolly Kyle Browning, Bobby Ann Williams, Sally Perdue, Connie Hamsey. Any of those names ring a bell?
Yeah. Well, you know, Jim, actually, they did a recent survey with American women asking how many of them would have been willing to have an affair with Bill Clinton. 85% of them said never again. Okay, you're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. We will be right back. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show and a subsection of the Bob Siegel Show, a show within a show. Yes, it's time for another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
I had to give you the big applause there.
Yeah,
you've been doing good.
That was better applause, Jim.
Yeah, you're doing good as of late.
That sounded like the old things they used to do with the Rocky and Bullwinkle and some of those.
I wasn't going that well.
We could get the laugh track from old sitcoms like Bewitched. Mechanical laughter by people that have been dead for 40 years.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, Jim, we're going to go to the year 1970 for this one. Are you ready?
As wary as I could be.
All right, here we go.
Oh, that's too easy. But go ahead and let it play a little bit.
Okay. What was that song?
A little tribute to a celebrity that just passed away.
That's correct.
A couple of days ago, David Crosby. And we're talking about Ohio, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, which was a song about the Kent State shootings, I believe. Did I get all that right?
That is correct, yeah. I'll play it again.
Oh, I'm glad you got it back. I love this.
Little interesting fact, too. David Crosby himself has actually stated that is his most favorite song that he has ever recorded in his career. And the first four takes of doing that song, he actually was crying. He couldn't hold himself actually sing the song until the fifth take.
And I would say this, whatever people in the audience right now might have thought about the Vietnam War and the protests, and I know there were two sides to that, you can't deny that this was quality music and quality art. And because it happened in the 1970s, I just cringed because the early 70s were so much like the late 60s. They were great, but right around the corner is going to come disco, and it's all just gonna fall apart.
Don't do it, Bob.
you had to bring that up, did you? Here I was enjoying some music and it was nostalgic.
Well, I don't know. Brendan might like disco. You like disco,
there,
Brendan?
There was very few disco tracks that I actually liked, I will say. But for the most part, it's all the same music, and I just get tired of it.
I always felt that disco sucked raw eggs with two straws. But hey, that's just me.
I'm sorry. That was not a high point in pop music for me. that was a very poignant song, and I'd read that too, that he was crying. In fact, he said at the end you can hear him kind of wailing and screaming. He was crying literally out loud, and it came through on the track at the end of the song. And he's singing, how many more, how many more, how many more. Now I can ramble a little bit here. That summer when that happened, there was all kinds of student unrest, and at the time I was hitchhiking across America, 18 years old, and I was hitchhiking across America to preach the gospel. That was my calling at that point.
Did you run into Forrest Gump jogging while you were doing that, when he was jogging across America?
No, I was Forrest Gump. I just couldn't run very fast. And I was in Minneapolis. I was at the University of Minnesota. Actually, a little town there called Dinkytown. It's the college town. And they were going to have their own protest. So all the student body went out there on a lawn for the student union, and they're going to protest. And Peter, Paul, and Mary were singing in town that night.
No, they were a top-notch group.
They were, but they were very much of the time very, very. They were the protesting folk singers and all that. But Noel Paul Stuckey was a Christian, and so someone with the Campus Crusade for Christ people got this idea and went and got Paul Stuckey and said, "Why don't you come out and play? We got all the student body out here in front of the school, and they're all protesting. Why don't you come and sing? They'd love it."
Oh, how fun is that?
It was one of the greatest things I've ever witnessed. Stuckey came out, and of course, the crowd goes nuts because he's a big star and they're part of our protest. And the first thing he does is he says, "You know what? I think we need to go inside. So let's all go into the gymnasium and I'll sing for you there." And so they gathered, they got everybody inside, and Paul Stuckey proceeded to sing and preach the gospel to all of these protesters. It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. And they brought in Campus Crusade people last minute, and they said, "If you want to talk to somebody, come backstage here, and we'll have someone that can talk to you." And he did a little crusade right there. And then This was the most amazing thing. When they were all through, he said, now, we left kind of a mess out there in the lawn, and I want everybody to go out there, and we're going to police here. We're going to pick up all the trash. And they did it.
That is great to see a celebrity that's not afraid to get up and share the gospel. He probably knew that it would make some of his fans unhappy, but he did it anyway. Good for him.
He was a great one, and I always had great respect for him. And it was quite a thing to behold, because the organizers of the protest and everything kind of got blindsided, and they didn't know what happened. And all of a sudden, their protest became an evangelistic crusade. It was pretty cool. So that's my story about in relationship to the Kent State situation. And so, moving on. You know, maybe we can move into the next subject. I was hoping we could do this. A few years back, Tom Brokaw wrote a great book called The Greatest Generation. And referring to
the World War II generation, right?
Yeah, the generation that survived the Great Depression and then survived World War II and came out of that and rebuilt.
And saved our country from the tyranny of the Nazis and fascists.
Well, they saved Europe. You know.
Yeah, really, they saved the world from their tyranny, absolutely.
Yeah. But it's a great book. And I would recommend it to anybody. Read that book. Whatever you believe in or think you agree with, read the book, because it's just, he's a journalist, a well-known journalist, and he wrote this book, and it was his take on that particular generation, the greatest generation. Now, we're talking about contrasts and double standards. I would like to talk to you about the softest generation, which is where we're at now. It's the, you've offended me.
They would get offended if a fly flew by or an ant walked by.
I probably, every time I'm on the show, offend somebody. But we have a generation now that I'm quite concerned about. They're raised in a bubble. Everything is handed, expected, what's the word we call, entitlement. And they're just like, you owe me. The world owes me. Hey, pal, the world doesn't owe you a thing. It was here before you. I see it. You know, I see it in my own family, and I see young people today, and it's just troublesome that they wouldn't know how to survive the Great Depression or a World War or any hardship, because it's just
which is too bad, because the administration that a lot of people from that generation put into power could be leading us toward another depression. We're certainly going into a recession, and I hope it doesn't get worse, but a lot's going to have to change. Oh, yeah. Well, it's all Trump's fault, of course.
No, blame it on Trump.
He's been gone for 2 years, but of course it's all still his fault, naturally.
Or it's global warming, which is all Trump's fault.
If your car gets a flat tire, Jim, it's because of global warming, and it's Trump's fault. Yeah. Both reasons for your flat tire.
Oh, this just popped into my brain. Somebody sent me a video, and it was the cliffs up above Black's Beach up there, Torrey Pines, collapsing. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. And that's not far from where this radio station is. Go ahead, Brendan.
Oh, I was going to say, I did see it, and I was glad to hear that nobody was injured and everyone was noticing it was already starting to fall, so they already moved all the stuff.
Did it look to you, Brendan, like it happened because of global warming?
Possibly. All that sand, possibly.
All right.
It had to be.
Well,
he said, I looked at that and I said, well, you know, now the cliff is topless. So,
well, on that cliffhanger, we will be right back with the Bob Siegel Show.
I'm Dana Wright, here to talk about Bob Siegel's book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... The title itself is an open-ended question. You fill in the rest. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? How will God judge people who never heard of Jesus? Can a scientific mind really accept miracles? These are but some of the concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book has been enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians alike. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But, by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back again to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
And we're probably in the last several minutes we have of the show here. We're talking about what I call the softest generation. People are afraid to do anything. They're not responsible for anything. And everything hurts their feelings and offends them. To the point now where we have certain words that are kind of banned. There are words you cannot use. Or
well, they say they're banned, but the rest of us don't have to go along with it. When I hear of things being canceled, I'm saying, who says so? We could just say we're not going to put up with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I don't. But you know what happens is if you are a public person and you say something, you're going to get blackballed. You're going to
look again, Jim. You are a public person and you just did say something.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They can all go jump off up here or stand at the top of a cliff before it falls down. And I'm sorry, that was offensive. And I thank you, Brandon, for mentioning. I'm glad no one was hurt. But it was my parting shot there was it was up above Black's Beach. So now even the cliff is topless. And so local.
Yeah, that is known as the nude beach of San Diego.
Yeah.
But if there's really global warming and the sun is getting that hot there, then maybe that's not the best place for a nude beach. I don't know. Just saying.
It was the wrath of Mother Nature.
Boy. Or maybe we just had a big storm like we sometimes have, and there was some erosion of the cliffs like we've been having since the beginning of time. And
yeah,
maybe that's all there was to it.
Maybe stuff like that just happens, and it's part of natural course of things. And as far as the whole weather thing, because, you know, they really had to change the terminology from global warming to global climate change. And I believe
Back and forth. If you're having an exceptionally cold winter, well, of course, climate change. If it's a hot summer, well, then, of course, hot, heat, global warming. They just switch the title depending on which one's more convenient.
It's cold when we're further away from the sun, and it's hot when we're closer to the sun, and the climate changes every year. Sometimes I think they just make this stuff up. I'm sure there's an agenda. I'm sure
there's a lot of sincere people that really believe it, and then there are other people that are just making it up because it gives the government more control of our lives, no matter what. A couple of years ago, it was, because of COVID. You can't do this, you can't do that because of COVID. You have to stay home. Right. You can't go to a movie theater. Why COVID? That may have just been a dress rehearsal for the Green New Deal. A lot of people have been suggesting that. I'm not the first, certainly.
I don't know. Speaking of COVID, I have a friend, and in the last election, as soon as it was over, she said, I'm just going to get this out of the way. I voted for Biden. You know, and I said, well, and what is it that he's done that really has impressed you in the last 47 years? Well, he's not Trump. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it. That was his whole platform.
Yeah.
Not only that, but Trump was a kid and Biden was going to be the adult in the room.
But why do you hate Trump? Is it because of what he's done for the economy? It's better than it's ever been. Is it because of the border security and the respect we're getting internationally? What is it about? Well, he's the jerk. Okay. So you voted based on that. Well, the same person I just saw, and she practices Christian Science. Which, by the way, is neither.
No kidding. You're right. It's neither Christian nor science. They don't believe anything physical really exists. It's all an optical illusion. Yeah.
Yes,
that is not taught by Christianity, and that's not science. No.
But she practices this, and she's a pretty, she goes to church every weekend. But she got vaccinated, and she wears a mask all the time. And I think, well, now, wait a minute. If there's no sickness, no disease, it's all an illusion, why are you wearing a mask? I don't get it.
Because of the old saying, actions speak louder than words. The way we act reveals how we truly feel and what we truly believe.
Yeah. So now I've probably offended all of our listeners who are Christian Science practitioners, all two of you.
Jim, you couldn't possibly offend any Christian scientists listening because this radio station and this broadcast and these microphones and waves, they don't really exist. So
none of it exists.
Neither do their ears exist or their eardrums or the sound vibration. So who could possibly be offended by any of this?
But you know what the Christian Science practitioner said when he died?
This ought to be good.
I'm not really dead, and it's not really hot here.
Very good.
Okay, sorry. Now, back to the softest generation. This year is getting crazy. The National Football League, there used to be a team in the NFL in San Diego, but they are no longer in San Diego. They're also on vacation now. Every year, they do their version of the All-Star Game. It's called the Pro Bowl. Okay, the Pro Bowl. And this year, they're playing a flag football game.
Oh, of course, Jim, because if you tackle somebody, that's violence. And we can't support violence, Jim.
You hurt my pinky.
We get so sensitive about everything.
Okay, now, this time, I'm going to say something. Hear me out, people. It's just an observation I have. But there's been a new phenomenon or pattern or practice in recent years, and it is the emotional support animal. Now, I love animals. My mom always had a dog. She lived by herself as a widow.
Well, and in hospitals, when people are dying of cancer or something, or they're just in a hospital, bringing dogs and cats, that can be very supportive.
Oh, absolutely.
So as far as it goes, that's not a bad thing.
No, I wanted to qualify that. But if you can't go grocery shopping without taking your dog with you into the store, the dog isn't healing your emotions. You need to get therapy.
Well, and there's been people that have walked into 7-Elevens with pet alligators, and people have gone on airplanes with their python snake, and that's their emotional support animal. So we've got to draw the line somewhere.
Well, and what I do, because I don't have a dog or a cat, but I take with me my emotional support animalized double-double from in and out.
Well, Jim, if your double-double relates to being a dog, then if your double-double identifies as a dog, who is anybody around here going to tell you that it's not a dog?
I don't know. Well, it's made out of some animal somewhere along the line.
Okay.
But and all of that to say, I understand the importance of having a pet and how that can really help a person. But if that's the only way you can function in society, I think you need more than a pet. I think you need some sort of help somewhere. Change the meds. Maybe they're not working.
Maybe a pet scan or a cat scan is what they need.
I'm cat scan. That's pretty good.
All right. Well, you know, on that high note, it's just about time.
Oh,
I do have to do one more Bill Clinton, though.
Okay, let's have it.
Mr. President, can you tell us your opinion of Rwanda? Rwanda? I never met her. All right, on that one, we will see you next time. And Jim, you're going to be back next week too, aren't you?
Next week.
All right, until then, this is Bob Siegel and Jim Barrier just making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.